And I do bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ at Laurinburg Presbyterian Church. It's good to remember our connections in the Presbyterian family. As we prepare now to hear God's word read and proclaimed, let us take a moment for prayer. Gracious God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy the good news of your kingdom. Amen. Our first lesson this morning is from Psalm 69, verses 7 through 18. Listen for the word of the Lord. It is for your sake that I have borne reproach, and that shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my kindred, an alien to my mother's children. It is zeal for your house that has consumed me. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I humbled my soul with fasting, they insulted me for doing so. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the subject of gossip for those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me. With your faithful help, rescue me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Do not let the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to me, redeem me, set me free because of my enemies. Our second reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Continue to listen for God's word to you this day. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no longer dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I expect if some of you sitting in the pews here this morning or listening online or on the radio are honest, you might be thinking, goodness, there were a lot of painful emotions, a lot about sin and death in those passages from Scripture that were just read. What kind of sermon are we going to hear today? Well, I have to admit, I had some of the same responses when I first read the lectionary passages for this Sunday. However, I promise that we will celebrate the good news of the gospel this morning and rejoice in the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get started. What are we then to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? Now, to understand this question that Paul asks in the first verse of chapter 6 of his letter to the church at Rome, I think we need a little context. In chapter 5, Paul first describes the fruits of our justification by faith, a hallmark of our Reformed tradition. He talks about the gifts of the amazing grace of God that were demonstrated by the fact that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. And then in the rest of that chapter, Paul talks about the entrance of sin and death into the world through the symbolic one man, Adam, and contrasts that with the free gift of grace given to us in one man, Jesus Christ, which leads to justification and life for all. Paul asserts in this discussion that wherever sin is, grace aboundeth all the more, resulting in our restored relationship with God and eternal life through Jesus Christ. God's grace in Jesus is the answer to human sin. However great Adam's disobedience may have been, and however greatly we sin as children of Adam and Eve, God's grace in Christ was greater, abundantly greater. In other words, grace and love triumph in Jesus' act of righteousness, and the power of sin is no more. And it is in the context of that glorious affirmation of God's love that Paul imagines someone in his audience might ask that question that opens chapter 6. If through Jesus Christ grace always triumphs over sin and life always triumphs over death, then why not continue in sin that grace might abound? The rest of the passage unfolds as Paul tries to respond to that imagined question. It's as if Paul thinks that the prodigal son, having experienced the gracious welcome and glorious celebration offered by his father when the son returned, might decide a few months later, I think I'll run away again so that I can come back once more to my father's arms and enjoy another great feast. Of course not, Paul asserts. Just because the power of grace will always defeat the power of sin, that does not give us a reason to keep on sinning. That is not how those made righteous by the grace of God behave. That is not the kind of people we are now. Paul then goes on to focus on the significance of our baptism to explain the new life we have in Christ Jesus. Now, as Christians, we are occasionally encouraged to remember our baptism. Usually that happens in one of two ways. We celebrate the sacrament here during worship, or when the lectionary in early January comes around to Jesus' baptism, we are encouraged to remember our own. Now, in Romans, Paul is reminding us of the significance of baptism for our lives as disciples of our risen Lord. Now, I went back to our book of confessions, and I found in the Confession of 1967 a very good description of baptism. Now, you will need to pardon the male language in the first sentence. This was written in 1967, after all. The confession reads, "By humble submission to John's baptism, Christ joined himself to men in their need and entered upon his ministry of reconciliation in the power of the Spirit. Christian baptism marks the receiving of the same Spirit by all his people. Baptism with water represents not only a cleansing from sin, but a dying with Christ and a joyful rising with him to new life. It commits all Christians to die each day to sin and to live for righteousness." Now, this is exactly what Paul means when he writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. As Christ died on the cross, so we too, all of us at one time or another, will experience physical death. By the grace and love of God, as Christ was raised from the dead, never to die again, so we too can look forward to eternal life in the fullness of God's kingdom." However, Paul is also claiming that baptism represents something more than just a reminder of our physical death and eventual resurrection. For Paul, the baptized followers of our risen Lord have already died and been raised. In the waters of baptism, we are buried with Christ in his death. And so, we linger for a moment at the cross, and we realize that our old sinful selves have been put to death. We are no longer enslaved by sin's power. And then, only then, we move from the cross to the empty tomb. From the waters of baptism, we are raised to share in Christ's resurrection, and we are reborn in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the covenant of baptism, God gives us new life now, strengthens us to resist evil, and nurtures us in love. In baptism, we choose whom we will serve by turning from evil and turning to Jesus. We have a new identity, a new life now. And so, remembering our baptism is, in the words of theologian and Columbia Seminary professor David Bartlett, remembering who we really are. Sin no longer has power in our lives. We are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean we will never go astray. That doesn't mean we will never face the wilderness of temptation, sin, and evil. And walking with God sometimes means we will be in opposition to the ways of the world and face criticism. But we will not face such challenges relying on ourselves alone. The psalmist voices the complaint of the innocent sufferer who has been insulted and mocked for following the ways of God. when I humbled my soul with fasting, they insulted me for doing so. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the subject of gossip for those who sit in the gate. But the psalmist is not alone. In faith and in hope, the psalmist knows that God hears, and in steadfast love, in God's proper time, will respond with deliverance and abundant mercy. Now, for Christians reading this psalm, sometimes the speaker is identified with Jesus himself. But always, as we read this psalm, we can affirm that the psalmist's plea has been answered in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Now, what does it mean to be alive to God here at Trinity Presbyterian Church in Laurinburg, North Carolina, on Father's Day in 2026? Well, when I look around, when I read your newsletter and looked at your website, I can find many clear examples demonstrating that this church is indeed alive to God. You have an ongoing commitment to serve the needs of this community through your monthly collection of food and other supplies for church community services. It is remarkable that this congregation has regularly provided a significant amount of food to help those who do not have enough. The garden does exactly the same thing. Your childcare and after-school and summer camp programs have addressed a critical need for quality childcare in this area for many, many years. And these are just two examples of the ways in which this church has been alive to God by recognizing needs in the community and by caring for neighbors in need. These programs actually reflect one of the great ends of the church. They are concrete ways in which Trinity shows forth the kingdom of heaven to the world. Now, we have glimpsed that kingdom in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And we know that in the kingdom of God, there will be no sickness, no homelessness, no one without food or clothing, no one imprisoned, no one lonely. That kingdom comes near when we care for those in need here and now, and in doing so, serve our risen Lord. While we have not seen the fulfillment of all God's promises or the ultimate glory of God's perfect kingdom, Paul encourages disciples to believe and to proclaim with joy that we can walk in newness of life now and be assured that we will be united with Christ in the resurrection to come. Now, this church also meets the spiritual needs of the community as well. The monthly prayer meetings that were mentioned in the announcements, participation in the Scotland Presbyterian Youth Program, and the radio and online broadcast of this worship service are ways in which this congregation fulfills some of the other great ends of the church. You are alive to God by continuing the proclamation of the gospel and working to ensure the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. Now, what else can we do as individuals and as a congregation to be alive to God in Christ Jesus? Well, there are many, many needs in our community and many good organizations that can use our assistance. And during this time of transition in ministry at Trinity, I am confident that individually and as a congregation, you will use this time of discernment thoughtfully, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit into a future which will continue to reflect your faithfulness as those who are indeed alive to God in Christ Jesus. Through the waters of baptism, we take on a new identity, child of God, and that identity has never been more important than it is today. We are at a time and place where so many would like to define us by many, many names. Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, American or not, gay or not, straight or not, rich, poor, black, white, the list goes on. Additionally, we are increasingly named and defined by the products we use, the stores at which we shop, Starbucks, Apple, Tiffany, Amazon Prime, Uber, Chewy, you name it. These are not just company names, but these products also create a particular sense of self and status. Increasingly, the brand names on our shoes and shirts and cars and phones and computers convey to the outside world a great deal about our identity. Day in and day out, we may identify ourselves in other ways too. We are sons and daughters, wives and husbands, mothers and fathers, friends, neighbors, professionals, volunteers, retired persons. We may think of ourselves as musical or creative or not, as weak or strong or sad or happy, as in good health or perhaps struggling. And some of those labels may seem accurate or appropriate to your situation or your present reality. But the most important way to identify yourself is as a beloved child of the God who created, redeemed, sustains, and loves you, each and every one of you, every single day. Paul encouraged the struggling Christian community in Rome, and Paul encourages us today to remember who we truly are. We are those who have died to sin and arisen to new life in Christ. And as we claim that identity, we can truly become alive to God in Christ Jesus and go forth in newness of life to serve all those in need and to proclaim the good news of God's amazing grace. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we have been equipped to live in loving service to God and to our neighbors. And when we do that, we are in the fullest sense possible this side of God's new heaven and new earth, alive to God in Christ Jesus. If you think about yourself in this way, if you let your baptism define you, you must rejoice, for you know that God will never forsake you, and you will hear God's clear call to service, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will continue to bring light and love and justice to a world in need. To the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen. Please join me.